stories. There's certain stories from my childhood that mean a lot to me, and because of that, I like to share them with kids, people that haven't heard them, like this summer when I read Through the Looking Glass to my grandkids. So I imagine you have some, too. That might make a good question of the week, I think. What's your favorite story? Or what's your favorite Bible story? I imagine that the answer would not be the one about Naaman the leper. But maybe it would, because it's got everything. There's the enemy general who kidnaps and enslaves little girls. Boo! And he gets a fatal and obnoxious disease, leprosy. Yay! The evil guy gets what he deserves, right? And this proud man gets humbled by the enemy holy man that he only goes to in desperation, because clearly Elisha's God is inferior to Naaman's national God, because otherwise Elisha's country Israel would have won the war. Naaman has no faith in Israel's God, but the servants convinced him that he has nothing to lose and he should try anything, especially since it can't hurt. And Israel's God triumphs by showing healing power and a humbled and grateful Naaman, who finds that there's no rewarding this God, takes some soil home to his home country from Israel so that he can offer thanks and praise to this God on his home turf. Yay! We hear the gospel in this story as God loves the insiders and the outsiders, the good and the bad, and blesses the undeserving, even those with no faith. And we hear all the reversals and ironies in the story as bad news for those who think that God operates on a quid pro quo basis. And we hear it as good news for those of us who know that we are sinners. And we learn from this story that the appropriate response to God's blessing is thanks and praise. We learn, when Elisha refuses lavish payment, that bribing God with gifts is impossible, because that God's the creator and giver of all things and so doesn't need them. And we learn that God doesn't bless us on the basis of what we've done for God. And here ends the nice children's story with a happy ending. But wait, there's more. Elisha's greedy helper thinks, why shouldn't we profit from religion? And he goes after Naaman with a lie. And in his case, he gets the justice that the hearers of the story think that he deserves. The lesson? Using people's faith in God to extort money from them has nasty consequences. But Jesus takes this story one step further. Note the setting. He's on the boundary between Galilee, where Israelites live, and Samaria, where the people are considered by the Israelites to be unclean dogs because they worship wrong, they aren't pure in doctrine, and harbor strong, hostile, tribal animosities going back centuries. Sound familiar? This would raise the same anxieties for them that we have today when we cross boundaries of ethnicity or culture or politics, where we despise and fear the other, where we have boundaries about who's acceptable to God and who isn't, places and groups about who we have determined is acceptable to God, and who God helps, and who deserves to be ill or healed. Jesus is about to show us what God thinks of those boundaries. So in the story, first there's the request, Jesus, have mercy on us, cry the 10 lepers. or a group that are considered too unclean to actually approach other people. And then the story says that when the lepers called to Jesus, he's already healed them. He doesn't say, "What do you want?" He just tells them, "Go show yourselves to the priests," because they're already healed. Healing didn't depend on who was deserving. Both the Israelite and the Samaritan got equal treatment. Those unclean by disease and those unclean by birth, whose relatives had refused to let Jesus stay in their town. And healing didn't depend on the faith of those healed. The Samaritans weren't told, "Well, go and worship right first and then come back and ask." Now, 9 of those healed took the gift and left without reference to the giver. And let's not be quick to criticize them. We take gifts from God all the time. And how often do we recognize the source? We live our everyday lives pretty much as the 9 did, taking the blessings of every day and going about our lives happily. But the 10th man gets 2 blessings. He gets the blessing of healing, as did the other 9, but also he gets the blessing that comes from recognizing the blessing and giving thanks. The blessing he gets, that is, of wholeness and even salvation, the blessing that comes from recognizing and relating to God in Jesus. This blessing springs from perception, our ability to recognize blessing, and it springs from action, which gives expression, no matter how inadequate it may seem at the time, an expression of gratitude for that blessing. That's where faith comes in. God didn't tell us, if you only had enough faith, I would send Jesus. No, it's because we had no faith that God sent Jesus. Faith, as we saw in the leper story, is not a requirement to receive healing or any other blessing. But faith is required to receive Jesus' role in the inbreaking of his kingdom. The theologian Origen said, "Holiness is seeing with the eyes of Christ." Faith doesn't change the facts, but it changes the way we see the facts. And when we do, the proper response to God's acts is praise and thanksgiving. And that's what Naaman did. He got more than healing. He saw a God who cared for him, a foreigner, a oppressor of the people. And so he wanted to continue to be in a relationship with that God, which is what the Israelites called being clean, being in a right relationship with God, being clean. When lepers were healed, they had to go show themselves to the priests, whose pronouncement made them clean, because it restored them to God's people, which allowed them back into a relationship with God and the community. Jesus, always respectful of the laws of Moses, tells the lepers to go and show themselves to the priest. But the story tells us that they were already made clean, that he was the one who was restoring them, not through the law, but through his own merciful activity. Even a Samaritan, a person who by birth and culture could never be made clean by a priest or by an action. It's not his thanks that makes him acceptable. It's Jesus who does that. The 9 who run off to get the priest to pronounce them clean, don't get it that in Jesus they are already clean. Seeing what Jesus has done for you and hearing his words of acceptance brings you a blessing, yes. But responding in gratitude to someone who's changed your life brings a second blessing, because gratitude draws us up out of ourselves into something larger and bigger and grander than we can possibly imagine, and joins us to the font of blessing itself. Gratitude joins us in God to Christ Jesus. Gratitude is the most powerful emotion. It frees us from fear, releases us from anxiety, and emboldens us to do more and to dare more than we could possibly have ever imagined. Even allows a Samaritan to return to a Jewish rabbi to pay homage, because he's realized that he too is a child of God, whole and accepted and beautiful just as he is. And that's what the nine missed. It's not that they'd done anything wrong. It's not that they don't see their good fortune and didn't voice their blessing. But it's because by not voicing it, they missed out on being made whole. Yes, bad things happen. Just look at the news the last 3 days. Look at your brothers and sisters who today ask for healing. Look at the problems in your own life. Bad things happen, but your life is full of blessing too. And that, in recognizing the blessing, that's where you see the healing hand of Jesus. And in recognizing it, you can see that his hand is there for you to be doubly blessed. And for that, we can say, thanks be to God. Amen.